We are always thankful for those of you who are visiting with us. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to be a part of our worship to God. We're thankful to our song leader for the enthusiasm in which he led us this morning and the enthusiastic way in which you joined in to sing praises to God. Those who led us in prayer and those who administered the Lord's Supper and all of you who have participated in every aspect of our worship, we're very, very thankful for that. Last week, we got off to a beautiful start with Brother Tillman, who shared with us concerning the prolific power of Jesus Christ. This is a great theme, the master's class, and lessons from Jesus. We're looking forward to this great theme this year and each quarter as we focus in on various aspects of our master. This quarter, we're looking at his power. We're dealing with his miracles, and we're seeing how these miracles speak to us today and what you and I should take from them. And so with that in mind, I had read to you John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and that's concerning the man who was crippled and had been crippled for 38 years and lay at a pool called Bethesda, which is interpreted the house of mercy. Jesus Christ comes to Jerusalem for a feast, and he comes through the sheep gate. This is where those who were bringing sacrifices, they would bring their sheep through this gate to the temple. Same gate Jesus chose to enter into Jerusalem. He also chooses to come that way, not only because it's the sheep gate, but he also chooses to come that way is because there is a pool that has five porches, and there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, or people that are lame, halt, withered, paralyzed, and blind, and all types of diseases and all types of ailments that men have. They have heard that there is some medicinal purpose, properties in the water, and that if they could just get in the water at the right time, that they would be freed from whatever disease that they had. Well, Jesus comes on the scene, and out of all of the sick and all that are there, he chooses one man, and this one man is going to be blessed by Jesus. Jesus asked him a question when he approached him. He said, "Do you want to be made whole?" And I want to share with you reasons why Jesus would ask a man who had been in a situation for 38 years, seeing that he's crippled, would come to him and ask him, "Do you want to be made whole?" That's almost like walking up to a man that's hungry and say, "Do you want to eat?" But Jesus has a reason for asking these questions. The first one that I want to share with you is that he asked this question in order to reveal hopelessness in the man. He wanted that to come to the surface, that you are in a hopeless situation. How do I know? Because the man responded by saying, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." In other words, there is no person that will be able to help him. There is no friend, there is no family member that is there to assist him to get into the pool. Evidently, he has no money because he could have paid somebody to put him into the pool. So the hopelessness, if Jesus does not come on the scene, this man will remain in this situation. So the question reveals his hopelessness. I believe the question also reveals his heart. In other words, you are in a condition based on not only your physical condition, but many times it's based on your perception or your heart. Jesus wants to find out in this man's heart, where are you? What's going on with you? Do you want to be made whole? You know, some people can be in a situation for a long time, and they get so comfortable that they have just accepted it, and they have learned how to live through it and live with it. And so to challenge it really is not what they want. Some people just want you to feel sorry for them. Some people just really want to continue to use that as a crutch in order to solicit from individuals. I can get money this way, but if I get my legs back, I'm gonna have to go get a job. And so the man, you know, do you really want to walk? You know, because if you got to walk, if you're gonna walk, you're gonna have to go get a job. So a lot of times, you know, Jesus wants to know what's in your heart. You know, Jesus is aware of the scripture that says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so, if a person does not want to be better, does not want to get well, there is a strong correlation between the way one thinks and what's going on in one's body. I believe not only was he asked the question to reveal hopelessness and to unveil his heart, but I also believe that he asked the question in order to produce hope. To be in a situation 38 years, and then I don't know how long he lay at that pool, but I don't think he got a lot of company. I don't think a lot of people came around to want to engage and talk to him. So for this stranger to walk up to him, first of all, acknowledge him, and then ask him a question, this produced hope in the man. And that's what Jesus is all about. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is about bringing hope to the world. That's his purpose for coming into the world. Jesus says, the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which is lost. If you want to know my purpose for coming, it's to save those that are lost. Why are you coming? Jesus says, the people who are well don't need a physician. Those that are sick are the ones who need a physician. Why are you coming this way? Why are you engaging this man? Because of my purpose. My purpose is to bring hope, to bring solution, to bring wellness to a sick, sin world. And so Jesus Christ says in John 10:10, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God is on record. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus says, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So he does not come to condemn. He comes to save. He comes to heal. He comes in order to bring hope to a world that is in desperate need of hope. Not only does he come with hope, but he also has compassion for a world that is in sin and a world that is diseased. Jesus is coming because of his love and compassion. Now, having asked the man the question, then Jesus immediately gives the man a command. Jesus says, after the man says, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled. And so Jesus says to the man, he says, rise, watch this, take up thy bed and walk. Three commands, rise, take up thy bed and walk. When he says rise, this is interesting because the emphasis is not on the man. The emphasis is not so much on his inability to walk, but here the focus of the miracle is on the power of the word of God. Hear me well. There is power in the word of God. If God says something, his word will not return unto him void. God's word is what created a world out of nothing. God said, let there be light, when there was no light, and light appeared. God's word is powerful. There are a lot of people who are looking for that which has efficacy and great benefit in their lives and what really works in our lives. Now, you can go to the internet and you can find a lot of things that people are promising. But if you want to know something that is sure, that works because of its power, it's the word of Almighty God. The word of God is quick, it is, which simply means it's living. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It gets down to separate the soul from the spirit. Amen. And the joints of the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. God's word is able to penetrate. That's what it's trying to show you. It's powerful enough to penetrate. It's powerful enough to illuminate. Amen. Amen. It has the power to create and the power to be able to bring to life. Well, Brother Gibbs, saying all of that, what does that mean? When he said, rise. When Jesus said, rise, the power was in the command to rise and not in the man's faith. The man had no knowledge of Jesus, who he was. If you read the story, he just know that the man just talked to me. Are you with me? It was only later that he found out who Jesus was. So I know that it wasn't faith on the man's part that put the power and the ability to walk. The power was in the word of Almighty God. Some of you need to get into the word of God more, because that's power for your life. You know, some people say, well, I don't want to just read the Bible, I want to study the Bible. If you don't have time to study it, I would advise you to at least read it. Read it, because there's power in the word of Almighty God. Now, he said, rise. Now, I just believe that when Jesus said, rise, immediately that man, after 38 years, started feeling something he had never felt before. Strength started coming into his limbs, and he was able to respond to the command, because the strength to respond came from Jesus and not from himself. That's very important for us, because if you don't realize how powerful Jesus is and how powerful his word is, then you will miss out on a true blessing for your life. But then not only did he say rise and the man, you know, was able to stand, but he gave him another command. He said, take up thy bed. That which you have been lying on for 38 years. That's your past. That is your present. But once I heal you, you need to fold that up. And the reason I want you to fold it up is because I have no intention for you to go back to that place. When Jesus has, and he tells us now, I'll heal you, but you're going to have to participate. You're going to have to, it's something I need you to do. I'm not going to fold up your bed. I'm not going to give you the ability to walk and then fold up your bed for you. I need you to fold up your bed and then walk. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus did just that. I just believe that this miracle is given for a reason, and that is for us to learn a lesson. Listen to what John says in John 20, 30 and 31. He said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, it's a sign. It comes from a Greek word which simply means a token. It means that which points toward something more significant. When you look at this miracle and any miracle, know that miracles are signs. Example, when you are traveling and you see a sign that says Dallas, 30 miles, don't stop at the sign. You got to keep traveling 30 miles to get to Dallas. Are you with me? Now, miracles, ladies and gentlemen, are signs. God doesn't want us to get caught up in the sign. God wants us to get caught up in what the sign points to. And the sign points to Christ. Christ is what the sign is pointing to. He is Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. He's God. He's the Word of God. He's the one who created the world through his word. And you need to understand that when you look at this wonderful application, you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is all about us understanding what a miracle is all about. It's only a sign. Now, when you look at the fact that it is a sign, you got to also understand that Jesus did not heal everybody around that pool. Hear me well. There were many multitudes of people around the pool, but Jesus chose one. Why do that? Because he's not interested in so much healing. Y'all gonna have to listen to me well now. Healing our physical bodies. He is more concerned about healing our spiritual. Now watch this. He came to heal us spiritually. In other words, what's wrong with us is our sin. Now, you have arthritis and you have rheumatism and you have all these diseases because of your sin. And unless he deals with the sin and not the symptom, Jesus is not just dealing with symptoms, he's dealing with the cause. Well, Brother Gibbs, how do you know? Because, listen to me, when he healed this man, the man still died. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, he died again. The woman with the issue of blood was healed, but she died. So, temporary fixes is not what the Lord is all about. The Lord wants to heal us spiritually. So the miracle is only to prove to you that if I tell you that I can heal you spiritually, if I can do it physically, you know I can do it spiritually. And so, here's the application for us. How does God heal us from our sinful condition? He does it through his word. He does it through his power. He does it through commands. Well, what is the command? Hear the gospel. Hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news that Jesus Christ died, buried, but that third day rose again and said, all power, heaven and earth, is in my hand. I am he that liveth, was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and you got to hear it. Hear it and have faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, What do you mean faith? The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Almighty God. When a man hears the word of God, there's power in the word of God. There's faith to be had in the word of Almighty God. When you hear God's plan, not only must you have faith in Jesus Christ and in his word, but you're going to have to repent. I heard Jesus say in Luke 13, 3, I'll tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're going to die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. So you're going to have to repent. The day of Pentecost, when they asked the question in Acts 2, verse number 37, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, they asked the question because of what they heard. They asked the question because of what they believed was the gospel. Now Peter said, repent, Acts 2:38, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for, watch this, for the remission of sin. That one who gave the man the power to rise is the same one that gives us power for healing of our sin. Lord says, as I healed him, I'll heal you from your sin. But I won't do it until you've heard the gospel, believed the gospel, repented of your sin, confessed Christ, and then being baptized in water. When you follow that command. Now somebody say, well, you just believe in water baptism. No, I don't believe in water regeneration. I believe in the plan of salvation. Hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. It takes them all. But baptism is the final step where the Lord frees you from your sin, washes away your sin. In Acts 22, 16, Ananias said to Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible is right. That's God's plan. That's why Jesus came. Oh, don't miss me. Jesus came not just to heal folk, but he came to save folk. Jesus wasn't just interested in physical blindness. He was interested in spiritual blindness. He wasn't just interested in physical lameness, but he was interested in spiritual lameness. And that same word that allowed them to be saved and healed is the same word that the Lord uses for us. Now, I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, I'd like for God to work a miracle in my life. Well, I'm going to tell you, he's not in the business of working miracles in your life now. But he is in the business of saving you now. And I know people say, well, I just need you to help me just this one time. Just intervene in what's going on in my life. And just as soon as he does it, you're going to go right back. And he's going to have to keep doing the same thing over and over. When he wants you to apply yourself, watch the command. He said, rise. Watch him now. Watch this. Rise, take up thy bed. And then he said, walk. Walking is what he has to do. Well, somebody ought to ask the question. Now that man has his legs back and his ability to walk, where did he walk to? You know, what you use your ability now for? Well, I'm glad to tell you. Look at the text with me. John 5:14. John 5 and verse number 14. Put that on the screen. Notice what the Bible says. What the Bible says. What? Read the word. What? He said what? Wait. I just want the word afterward. Afterward. After what? After Jesus encountered him. After what? After Jesus healed him. Mm-hmm. See, you know what our problem is? Our problem is not with the Lord saving us. It's what we do afterward. See, whether you want to be whole or not depends on what you're going to do after the Lord saves you. Now, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, afterward, Jesus, what? Findeth him. Which means that the Lord was looking for him in the what? Ooh. You mean to tell me as soon as he got his ability to walk, the first place he went was where? You mean he didn't go to the park? You mean he didn't go to the ball game? He didn't go to the Super Bowl? He didn't go to the gym? You mean the first place he went afterward was the what? When you saved, when the Lord saves you from your sin and brings you into a fellowship with him, what do you do afterward? Do you go back to where you were? Good question, isn't it? But watch what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, behold, thou art what? And watch what Jesus says. Do what? Don't go any further. Do what? In other words, evidently what got you in your problem, it was what? Now, if you're going to turn around and go back to that sin, less of what? Now, if you thought not being able to walk for 38 years was something, now, after I healed you, and you're going to go back? He said, the worst thing going to come upon you. So as I close, I'm asking us, do we really want to be made whole? Do we really want the Lord to save us? The Lord will save us in any situation, but he has to do it through his word. And you and I are going to have to follow his word and follow him and walk according to what he says. So the challenge for us is, which way are you walking? So I close by asking, which way are you walking? Here's what I know that man did. He walked and used his ability to go to the temple. He went to worship, probably had not had that opportunity because in his condition he didn't. But soon as he was healed, that's where he went. Here's what I hear Jesus through the Apostle Paul in Romans 6, 3 and 4. He tells us plainly, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead. Are you with me? The Bible says, even so we also should what? Walk in the what? Newness of life. I hear Jesus through the Apostle Paul say, we walk by faith and not by sight. I hear him talking to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. So if you walk right, walk in the way that the Lord wants you to walk. Don't go back to that bed. Don't go back to your past. Don't start criticizing, talking about, well, I feel like the Lord is not with me. The Lord said, I gave you a sign and I told you that if I did it for this lame man, I'll do it for you. If the Lord worked it out for him, he'll work it out for you in all of your situations. But you're going to have to follow his word and do what he said. Some people act like they don't understand what I'm talking about. Let me just give you one example and then I am through. All right. You say, well, I need help with my husband. I need help with my wife. And he told you, he said, well, when your husband acts up, submit to him. Now, that's his word. And you're going to tell me, All right, then. Well, okay, since that's where you feel, I ain't going to help you then. Amen. Amen. That's just one example. I can give you 10 others, but that's enough for right now. In other words, the Lord will help you if you follow his word. Follow his command. If he says, rise, let him give you the power and the strength to do it. Am I right about it? Let the Lord be the one to help you to get through your situation. Follow his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and is a light unto my pathway. Oh, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scum. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate how day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in the season. The leaves will not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he walking the way God wants him to walk. Somebody ought to stay with God, because God will prosper you. God will help you. I'm spitting over everything, am I? Amen. But it's some good spit. All right. God bless you. Come on right now while together we stand and sing.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Amen.
Just as I